and woman, by the principle of reproduction, you came into this world with what is called the law of sin and death in your body. Praise the Lord. The law of sin and death is something that was projected into Adam when he fell. When Adam fell to the devil, the enemy released something, a poison in him, and that poison is called the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death came into existence before man was created. I'm laying a foundation. But God has given you and I the law of sin, victory over the law of sin and death through Christ Jesus. But I want to speak about the foundation first. Because if we don't know the seriousness and how God deals with law of sin and death, we won't take it that serious. The law of sin and death was something that came into Adam through Satan. There is a scripture in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. If you are in Romans 7, just look at that chapter before 7, which is 6. And that's Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. There is a spiritual law there. That is a spiritual law. It is an internal law. And that law says, it says this. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself a slave to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. In other words, let me tell you this. It's a spiritual law. The spiritual law is that you are a slave to whoever you obey. So if you are in obedience to somebody, you are a slave to them. That is why Jesus said, a servant can never be greater than his master. The best you can be is to be like your master, but you can't be greater. Because you are obeying your master, so you are a slave to him. Now, when we obey God, we are a slave to God. When we obey Satan, we are a slave to Satan. And the Bible says that you are a slave to whomever you obey, whether sin leading to death. That means if you obey sin, it leads you to death. Which means sin can be obeyed. And you can only obey something that has a personality, that has an expression. Praise the Lord. So sin is not just fornication. Those are the fruits of sin. Fornication, adultery, those are just the works of sin. Those are just like branches. Sin itself is a person. It's a person. It's a power. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to go into something, but even if the foundation I lay and stop there is good enough. The law of sin came to Adam. Why? Because when Satan came into the garden, and the devil said, has God said that you should not eat of the tree in the garden? And he tempted him and said, oh, God knows that in the day you eat of it, you'll be like God, you'll be wise, you know good and evil. And when Adam ate of it, you know what he did? He obeyed Satan. And when he obeyed Satan, he became a slave to Satan according to the divine law that I showed us right now. Jesus also said it in the book of John chapter 8 verse 34. He said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. So when you obey somebody, you are a slave to them. In your workplace, that is the same thing that happens. You obey your managers, you are a slave to them. You do whatever they tell you. Praise the Lord. So it is a spiritual law for us before we see it manifest in the physical. But every organization, establishment is established by that law. Servants obey master. And so when Adam obeyed the devil, he became a slave to Satan. And since that day, he can never be greater than Satan, but was always under Satan. Listen to me. Are you hearing me? Now, it is under, listen very carefully, it is Adam, a slave to Satan, that he gave birth to everybody in the world. So everybody were born in this world under a master, Satan. And when Adam submitted himself to Satan, Satan ejected his nature into Adam. And that nature is called the law of sin. The law of sin is a nature that belongs to the devil. How did that nature came into the devil? He was once an angel in heaven before. Because I want to define to you what iniquity really is and what sin really is, so that we'll know what sin really is. Fornication is not sin. Fornication is only the work of the flesh. Adultery, all these are works of the flesh. But sin really is what we need to know about. Praise the Lord. Satan was once an angel called Lucifer. He was an head of all the angels. He was the head of all angels. He was called Lucifer. The word of the Lord says that he had charge over the earth, because the earth was in existence then, but he was like a musical director. He was so close to God. Why was he so close to God? Because he was like a worshiper. Built in him were instruments of worship, instruments of songs. Today we have drums, keyboard. Satan didn't have drum keyboards. All these instruments, they were part of his makeup. They were built into him. Are you understanding me? So when Satan says, oh Lord, the drum go brr, 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 the keyboard, brr, everything goes with music. When he speaks normally, it's with drums, everything. Therefore, the presence of God was so strong upon him, because the worship was always bringing the presence of God. And that made him more beautiful than other people. And that's a revelation of worship. People who worship God are beautiful, really, really, in the spirit realm. Praise and worship brings beauty out. He was once beautiful. He was covered with so much gold, diamond. All the precious stones you can think of was his covering. In other words, was his flesh. That is why the enemy is not carried away by rich people. He knows rich people can be still rich and miss the kingdom. He can still get them to miss the kingdom. Even the eye of a needle for a cattle to go through is easier for a rich man to get in there. Because he's been there before, it's worthy of his nature. He knows what it means to have the riches of God and still stand before God. Praise the Lord. But it was something that he didn't have. Hallelujah. But he was so beautiful. But one day what happened was that his attention, instead of his attention going to God, the giftings brought his attention to himself. Praise the Lord. And through his gifting, the attention was diverted into him. Which is what happens today. Have you never seen that many gifted people are so self-attended to? I am one of those that believe it's good to be gifted by God, but every gifted person, if they don't live a fasted life, they can easily miss the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, he didn't say some will say, many will come. Why many? Because it's not easy to hold it and still not yet be broken. That is why when you're crying out for the giftings of God and it's working brokenness in you, he's blessing you. Praise the Lord. Are we hearing me? Many people hold my ministry, because you just heal a sick. Because you just prophesy. Oh, you're joking. Hallelujah. The kingdom really, what Jesus is looking for, is not looking for the gifting. Jesus is looking for something that has been missing from eternity, and that is a life of righteousness. Iniquity is what he committed. Iniquity is sin. I'll tell you what iniquity is. His attention was drawn to himself. And once his attention was drawn to himself, he said something. He said, why should it be that God is the only one we're going to be listening to? People should be able to listen to me as well. He said, let me tell you this. He said, he didn't even say it verbally. The word of God said he said it in his heart. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne. He has a throne, but it was on earth. It's not good enough. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the fortress side of the earth. I will ascend above the house of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And God said he conceived iniquity. In what is iniquity? What is sin? Sin is self-will. Sin is self-will. Listen to me. Sin is self-will. When he said, I will, that was sin. S-I-N without an S. The whole universe in the whole world, everything were made by Christ and for Christ. If not of the desire of God, nothing will exist. Everything in heaven and earth exists because one person was existing omnisciently, omnipotently, without anyone creating him. And he had a desire. It was out of desire of God that things began to be created. So everything exists to fulfill his desire. Are you getting me? So that is an eternal law. So when something that is made says that I want to exist for another reason apart from why I've been made, you have broken some law. A main law why you exist yourself. Can you see? The day your car, the car you ride, says instead of riding on road, I want to go underground and just be digging and be going underground. It says that day it ceases its right from being existing. Because if you get yourself into that car, it will take you underground. Instead of taking you to where you are walking, you find yourself somewhere deep in the ground. Amen. Are you understanding me? The day this microphone says, instead of being a microphone, I want to just be on top and be rolling like a fan, it has ceased its existence. Why should I keep it? The law, the spiritual law that keeps me in relationship to this microphone is that it's doing the reason why it exists. There is a law that keeps you maintaining your car and spending money to make sure that it is okay. It's because it's still taking you from one place to another. The day that law gets broken and that car goes 40, you begin to think of buying another one. And the day the Lucifer begin to rise and say, I will, in that day cease from existing. His right to exist instantly was taken away from him. And God said, because of this, God said, he cast him down to the earth. And immediately, hell, the place called hell, instantly came into existence for the first time. Boom. The purpose of hell is to destroy everything that has no right to exist anymore. Everything that God made for his purpose that says he wants to fulfill another thing, God said from that day, that is where they don't have right to exist. That is why hell existed. Now, this nature, listen to me, this nature that says, I will, which is sin, iniquity, is what Satan projected into Adam when Adam fell. Listen very carefully. That is why, since that day, if man misses with God, man goes to the same place, because God is never a God of partiality. Listen very carefully. Are you getting me? Now, when Adam began to have children, this nature of iniquity was downloaded through broad line transfer into descendants and descendants and descendants. Can you see? So the Adamic race, listen to me, the Adamic race is not the race that God ever is waiting to use. Since that day, God determined and said, since Satan has come into Adam this way, Adam too lose his place in God. But one thing God did was that before he destroyed the Adamic race, out of that Adamic race, he's going to start a new race. Listen to me. To be part of that new race is what it means to be a Christian. I can define Christianity like that. To be part of the new race is what is called Christianity. Praise the Lord. Was Adam two men, three men, five men, six men? He was just only one man. But you know what? It was through his own offense that this nature came into man. Yeah? And it was reproduced in all men. Praise the Lord. So what God did, that God is using the same principle as well. God said, what I'll do is that I will send another man, but whoever will be the man who will replace Adam must not have the nature of iniquity in him. So whoever will be that new man must not be born by the principle of man and woman reproduction, mating together. Because it is through mating that the bloodline are transferred. Because man is the holder of the seed, woman is the conceiver and the incubator, and she gives birth. But what the woman receives, the seed is in the man. And in the seed is every nature of everything. The seed of a man goes in the seed. Are you getting me? So if Jesus or the other man will be born by man and woman coming together, he too will come with sin. So God decided to bring forth another seed. And the other seed God brought forth, listen to me, listen very carefully. The other seed God brought forth was the seed of the word of God. Everybody say the word of God. And that word of God is God. Listen, now, God can never be overtaken by iniquity. Are you understanding me? Iniquity is something that God can never be overrided by. It is impossible for God to sin. It is impossible because, let me tell you, the God that judged sin. You know, when Satan sinned, God is the one that says, cast him out. Listen very carefully. The God that judged sin is the one that came by the word into the womb of a woman and said, okay, if they do this, I will do something by which it will be impossible for man to ever sin. Praise the Lord. God, the omnipotent, is the one. Bible says, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. Verse 4, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when Jesus was walking on the earth, he was different from every other man. If anyone will ever be in Christ or come to Christ or be like Jesus, he will be a brand new man without sin because Christ is sinless. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? I'm going somewhere. I hope we'll be following. Because if we can understand the foundation of the Christian life, we will live victoriously over sin. We were all born naturally in the sense of God through the Adamic race. None of us entered this world without a man and woman. As long as you were born of a man and woman, sin, that law of sin came with you. And that law of sin that came with you, that law of sin is, listen to me, is in your body. That law of sin is in your body. But when Christ came, he came, like I said, as the Word of God. He lived his life different from every other man. People looked at him and said, what manner of man is this? He did things that men never thought could be possible. His thinking was different. How did we fall? We fell by eating good and evil, isn't it? So we live by good and evil. Jesus didn't live by good and evil. In fact, he said, don't call me good. There's one good. Jesus lived by the revelation of who God is. Jesus lived his life by the revelation of who his Father is. Jesus lived by looking at his Father and repeating what he did. Jesus lived by the principle of life. Praise the Lord. I said that this morning, there are many things that Jesus did that in man's standard is not good. If I do the same thing, you will say I'm not good. You say I'm not a man of God. The lot of things Jesus said and do that were not good. But yet, he was doing the will. He wasn't living by knowledge of good and evil. For man was not meant to know good and evil anyway. We were meant to live by the knowledge of who God is. As God fellowships with us every day, he gives us the knowledge of what he wants to do. And Adam will carry it out. And Adam fellowships the next day. And through that is why God said, don't even go for knowledge. Leave that to me. Yes, now I'm coming. When Jesus was on the earth, listen to me, he lived as the Word of God. He never sinned against God. He didn't have any right to die. But if he alone stands on the earth and comes and goes, God has not achieved anything. By divine way, somehow, what Jesus had to be transferred to us. And the only way it can be transferred to us is by him identifying with us, which is what he did on the cross. He's going to the cross. Bible says he knew no sin but became sin for us. In other words, he became what we were. Amen. Are you getting me? Listen to me. Let me say it this way. Were you there when Adam was sinning? You were not there. But what Adam alone did by himself affected everybody on the earth. The same thing God did. What Jesus also did was to affect everybody. So that all you need to tap to do, just as all you need to be able to tap into what Adam did was to be born of man and woman, all that you need to tap into what Jesus did is to be born of him, of God, which is what we call born again. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that sin is this law of sin is from the enemy, and it's in the body. And when Christ went to the cross, he was going to the cross representing us, just as Adam represented us in the garden. But he represented us first to take away the sin nature in us. He represented us first to take away our sins. Praise the Lord. So when he was on the cross, remember, he shed his blood. Amen. What was the shedding of his blood for? He shed his blood to remit our sins. Everybody says sins. Plural. Sins, plural, means works of the flesh. That is fornication, adultery, lying, cheating. That was done by the shedding of his blood. He took all our sins and he bore our sins in his body. God took all our sins. Remember, you were not born there, but God took your sins and put it on Jesus. If God could put your sins on Jesus when you were not born, that means there are sins you have not committed in your bloodline that he has already paid for. Past, present, future. Just as what Adam did took care of our past, present, future. Whether, no matter how good you are, it's hell if you don't accept Jesus. You can never go to heaven by what you do. You can be very good, but as long as you are rejecting Jesus, you go to hell. Why? So, brethren, I'm not going to hell because of what I do. I would have gone to hell because of what Adam did. Adam took us to hell. Praise the Lord. The same way, going to heaven is based on what Jesus did. Jesus took your sins, and through when he bore the sins on his body, he shed his blood and remitted them. But if only he dealt with your sins, you can still keep repeating sins. He has to deal with you too. It's like prisons. People find out that the more they put people in prison, the more they come out being worse. Why? Because it is not the punishment, it's something in them. So you have to deal with what is producing that thing. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. Just as people, somebody say, I'm guilty, go to prison. He went for his punishment. They said, now you have served your punishment, go out. That doesn't mean you can't repeat it. So because your sins were forgiven by God, doesn't mean you can't keep sinning. So Jesus said, what I'll do is that I have to kill that nature. So Jesus became sin. Sin singular means who we were before, who you were born to be by your mother and father, who you were, your personality. That is why he needed to die. His death was your death. On the cross, your sins were dealt with. But when he died, and he gave up the ghost, you died that day. And in the eye of God, James, son of Stella, does not exist. In the eye of God, since that day, James, the son of God, the Christ, is the one that God is looking for since that day. So the day James was born by his mother, and they were all rejoicing in the family, heaven was saying, oh, Bashata Rabasandara. Rakatari Kasandara Baba. Oh, Rakatari Asanda. One day, I hope he will receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven didn't recognize him being born naturally. They were waiting for him the day he was born by Christ, for he got to say, this is my beloved son. Are you understanding me? I hope we are getting something here. So when Christ went to the cross, he became you. I hung on the cross with Christ 2,000 years ago. I was there with him, with my sin nature. He became sin. What was sin? If you notice, he that knew no sin became sin. Not sins. Sin as in iniquity. You know that nature of Satan. Listen, that nature of Satan that I spoke about, which came into Adam, that is going from bloodline to bloodline, he took that all and became it. Our sins, he put it on himself. Therefore, that one, he became it. In other words, he changed who he was and became sin. And the moment he became that, God the Father looked and said, that is no longer my son. And he turned his back. And when God said, that's no longer my son, he turned his back. Jesus did not say, my father, why have you forsaken me? He was always saying, father, 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 father. In other words, relationship born of God. For the very first time, he said, my God, my God. God is God to anybody. God was no longer father to Adam, but was still God to him. That is why he kept communicating with Adam and showing him the way for redemption. But he was no longer his father. He was his father was a devil. Why God was God? God is God to Satan, is God to Adam, but is no longer father to both of them. God is not father to the devil, he's neither father to Adamic race. He's only father to one person, that's Jesus Christ. But for the first time, when Jesus became us, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, he became sin. And so when he died, guess what? Sin what? Died. Just as when Adam sinned, we all sinned. So when Christ died to sin, we all died to sin. That is why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Let me tell you, it is through the power of sin that generational curses are being transferred from one generation to another generation to another generation. This is the revelation that deliverance ministry have, and the ministry minister says, oh, confess the sin of your mother's mother, sin of father's father, sin of this brother, sin of this brother, of your brother's brother, of your sister's sister, of a this. Well, why not take a fastest way? Instead of going back and remembering history, just take on Christ. Just go to the cross, take off the old man, put on the new man. Hallelujah. I said, instead of repairing engine today, window tomorrow, why not leave it and buy a new car? When you have opportunity to buy a new one, why repair everything? God is not repairing the old man. God killed the old man. God terminated the old man. The old us were crucified with Christ. We live enough, but Christ is one alive in us. Sin was dealt with on the cross. Hallelujah. That thing that God was angry with, that thing that offended God in eternity, where that Satan committed, which was transferred into Adam, Jesus dealt with it at the cross. No wonder the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because once you come to a revelation of the cross, the wicked one will come and find nothing in you, because that which he has in man is sin. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? But if we don't know what God has done to sin, we will have the same problem Paul had. The evil we don't want to do, we'll keep seeing ourselves doing them. The good, because we'll be living by what we know is good and bad. We'll be like the children of Israel who are living under the law. Holiness is already paid for. Righteousness is already done. All these things are done deal. What we need is to come to a revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you never seen every time the church misses it in the scripture, God will come and say the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul will say, you've so much messed up so much that I've come to you only with one thing, with Jesus Christ and him crucified. When revelation, the churches misses it, the word of God started by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every time the church misses it, God represents Christ to the church again. Because it is Christ. Hallelujah. I've said all this to tell you one thing. What Adam did to you is in your body. What Christ did for you is in your spirit. Man is made of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Forgive me, I won't go into details into that because of time. But what I'm telling you is that the good thing about redemption and the plan of God was that the destruction where Adam did, what Adam did, affected our soul and spirit. Affected our soul and body, but what Christ did affected our spirit. You know something? The spirit is the real us. The real me is a spirit man. I am a spirit living in this body. This body is only my house. Let me give you a good clue. We are in this church, aren't we? Would it not be crazy if I say, because you are living in this house, because we are in this church, your name is number one, Simon Rosa. Number one, Simon Rosa, come here. Number one, Simon Rosa, come here. Why are you calling me? I'm not number one, Simon Rosa. My name is Dakpo. No, but you live in number one, Simon Rosa, don't you? Yes. Yes, so you are number one, Simon Rosa. Number one, Simon Rosa, come here. That's crazy. We don't even do that among men. We call ourselves by what our father called us. Dakpo was given to me by my father. And it is in, I honor my father by obeying that name. My identity is determined by my father, and people call this body what my father determined. Now, if we have the Father of Heavens, it is what the Father has called us that determines who we are, not what this body, which is our house, is. Our house, we see ourselves as black people, Nigeria people. All that are just identities in this body. I only know that you are a black man because of your body. I know that you are a Jew because of your body. Your body tells me if you are a Jew, you are a Greek, you are a circumcised or uncircumcised. Whether you, whatever you are, it is your body that tells me that. But saints of God, we are not the body. The body is perishing, but yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We every day, there is a renewal carrying on. There are so many surgeries that the Holy Ghost is doing every day in our inner man. But as long as we call ourselves by this body, we will shut down what God is doing and be activating the law of sin. So if I call you a black man, everything that works in black man begins to activate in you. If you call yourself a black man, every generational disorder, the law of sin in a black man begins to activate in you. If there is gynecologist in it, it will be activated. If there is poverty there, it will be activated. If there is lakuregbe there, it will be activated. Whatever it is will be activated. I'm telling you, if there is diseases, if in a good example, black people are very immoral. They like women too much. They can marry 3, 4, 5 wives at the same time. So as long as you are a black man and you keep affirming your blackness, you will be having problem with fornication and adultery. Praise the Lord. That is what Paul was going through here. Paul was going through a struggle. I know Jesus suffered. Why am I struggling, oh God? I really want to do the will of God, but I see myself doing something wrong. And Paul gave us a clue of what happened. Let's not go into the Bible. All that I have said is scriptural, but I didn't go to the Bible because I laid the foundation to say this. This is what Paul called the mystery of iniquity. Romans 7, I'll read from verse 15. Romans 7, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For what I am doing, I do not understand. What I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. Before I go further, I want to, can you say that? The same thing you are struggling with, I want to please God, the good I want to do, I can't do them. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I do. And Paul said, wait a minute, I wasn't like this before. When I was an unbeliever, I didn't even know that this was happening. Because Paul, as an unbeliever, he said, concerning the law, I was blameless. He said, wow, so I was so much a Pharisee that I didn't even know anything. I was blameless as a Pharisee, Paul said. But when Christ came, something, a mystery, something in him woke up. He said, wait a minute. What is wrong with me? Me is a righteous person before? Now I see myself that some things are happening that I never thought. He said, wait a minute. Now, if I want to do something and I'm not doing it, and the things I don't want to do, I'm doing it. He said, that means there is me and there is something else. Because if it is only me, if it is only me, I won't be feeling this way. So there's me that wills. There is something that's making me not to do what I will to do. So Paul began to separate himself from sin. And when Paul separated himself from sin, Paul began to realize that he himself is okay in Christ. But there is something that is still in this, because when I got born again, my body didn't change. When I then suddenly became a white man, I've always been like this. Go and watch my preacher. 20 years back, I've always been like this. I didn't change. My body didn't change. Even my thinking didn't change. It's the word of God that keeps changing my thinking as I meditate on it. So which means every baggage that I took in Adam, which is still in this body, is still there. But there is something that has come into my spirit that is making me to hate what I was accepting before as good. So Paul began to realize, let me make a difference here before I understand the war. This is me, I'm born of God. This is me, the spirit man. That which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. That which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. Jesus said it. Let me live by the word of Jesus. Now that which is born of flesh, where does it come from? Adam. You see me. Sorry, you wait a minute. That was tongue. Sorry about that. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. You stay here. That which is born of spirit, I'm here because I know I'm born of God by being born again. So there is something in this flesh that is fighting against me. And Paul began to find out, what is that thing? Let us continue. Hey, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said this, verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. For I know that in me, he defined that me. What is that me? Look at that bracket. That is in my what? Flesh. Nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what to do good, I do not find. That is in his flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. God is all repairing the flesh. God has crucified the flesh. I'll read on. Verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. He's finally settled that. Now, sin dwells in me, but he needs to know where the sin is so that he can attack it very well. Verse 21 now says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I find a law that evil is present. How did the evil get there? By generational transfer from Adam. Praise the Lord. But, where am I? Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the what? Inward man. What is the inward man? The spirit man. Is there concern the spirit man? No problem. And that is who I really am. If any man be in Christ, is a what? New. That new creation is a spirit man. No problem. That new creation is born of God. Say born of God. Everything reproduces according to itself, isn't it? Trees give birth to trees. Monkeys give birth to monkeys. Have you ever seen a dog and it gives birth and a monkey came out? Pram! It does not happen. Black people give birth to black people. White people give birth to white people. Everything reproduces according to itself. And so, if I have been born of God and I am unholy, God must be unholy. If I am born of God, I am holy. Wherever I am, you can just tell from where I've come from, my father. So, my spirit man is okay. Are we hearing me? That which is born of God, sin not. It is okay, no problem. But is that... But you know what? On earth is a physical place. Spirits don't live here. We live by physical thing. So God gave me a body to be able to live on earth. But this body that's supposed to be serving me to do the will of God on earth is already programmed with something that is against the will of God. So when my spirit man wants to do the will of God, the body is programmed with the law that says, Her great-great-grandfather have never done it like that. Adam, from Adam, they have never done it like that. They have always been against God, love, sin, and death. So when God said, thou shalt not, sin said, thou shalt. When God said, love one another, sin says, I begin to hate now. That is love, sin, and death. The law of sin cannot operate unless God speaks. If God had not told Adam, thou shalt not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sin would not have known what to do to make Adam fall. So, law of sin is in you from generation, waiting till God speaks. The moment God speaks, law of sin says, hey, now my duty has started. Do the opposite. That is the law. Paul said, I now find a law in me that evil is present. That is the law he detected. And he detected that this is a generational thing coming down. That is the evil present in him. It's a law. Praise the Lord. Amen. I always say it. If God had just created Adam, I said, be in my image and have dominion. Bye-bye. Satan would have come. I thought, how can we make this man sin? God, did God tell anything that he should do? No, God only said he should have dominion. Okay, let's listen. Maybe one day God will give him a command. He will be waiting. If God didn't give a command, he has nothing. But the day God said, thou shalt not touch, aha, Satan said, thank God. Make him eat of it now. Praise the Lord. That law is in the body. Satan came to the devil, he came to Adam to say face to face, but doesn't need to come to you again. The law is already there. He's released as they are giving birth to you. So he can sit in the heavens, cross his leg. He knows everybody will be reproducing it. Let me rush and just finish this. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members. Now he's getting definite now. Where is the members? In the members of the body. Warring against the law in my mind. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Where is the law of sin? Which is in my members. Oh, wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Is that not the cry of many believers today? But Paul, this thing is in the members. So the question now is, how can I defeat this law that is in the members? How can I do it? And Paul realized that, oh, I now know. Paul went and said, I'm just dramatizing for you to understand the reality, what God was putting in his mind. See, revelation takes you into the mind of the apostles. God can take you into the mind of Paul and let you see what he saw. I tell people, I say, look, the reason why people are controversial into the Bible kingdom, oh, women should be missing, women should not be missing, women should be silent, women should not be silent. It's because we are reading scripture but not having a revelation of what God was saying when he was saying it to the servant. And God can take you into the spirit and the mind of Christ as he was speaking to Paul and can see where his thinking was coming from. Praise the Lord. Paul thought and said, wow. If this dark, I can say darkness is in this body. But I remember God. When there was darkness over the whole earth, God did something. God brought light back. How did God do it? Wow. God looked at all the light. First of all, God allowed his spirit to hover over. And that spirit is in the inside of me now. Praise the Lord. So why am I still doing this? God did something else. Apart from the spirit moving over, God spoke what he wanted. Let there be light. And there was light. And Paul thought, wow, if I can allow God to speak out of me into this body, then the same effect should have. It's like mechanics. The same principle by which the engines of car work is the same principle today. It's just modernized. But the same thermodynamics principle. Are you getting me? And Paul said, no problem. My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he's able to give life to this mortal body. And if life comes into this mortal body, it swallows up death. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It swallows up what? Death. Let me read. I'll conclude with this. Romans 8, verse 10, 11. We'll probably look at the rest next week. See, God told me very clearly that next year we have to begin to live by faith and by grace. He said grace and faith is the instrument of the believer's victory because this whole world is coming to an end. There's an economical collapse that men can never solve except God intervenes. And God, let me tell you, the solution to this economical problem is going to come from the spirit realm. One from the Antichrist, the other from God. I'm telling you this, you go and pray about it, ask God, because the world powers don't even have any solution. But while this storm is going on in the world, while this storm is waging, the church is on the boat. And they are afraid, like they were afraid in the boat. Oh. And while we are afraid, Jesus was praying on the mountain. He's at the right hand of the Father, as right now, interceding for us. But during this storm, Jesus is going to come, not to reveal himself to the world, but he's coming to reveal himself to his people and walk on water. Hallelujah. And the church is afraid. Hey, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. They don't know Christ, because when they see him, they'll call him a ghost because of the lack of the knowledge of who he is. And God is trying to give us that knowledge of Christ, because it takes people who know him to walk on water. Because Peter said this. Peter said, Lord, if that is you, in other words, I want to know that that is you. I need to confirm the knowledge of you. And I know if I can confirm that is you, I will walk too. And Jesus Christ is I. Come. And when Peter got the revelation that this is Jesus, when he stepped on, he too began to walk. Jagajigi, here. Jagajigi, here. Jagajigi, here. But the mistake Jesus did was that the knowledge that kept him on water, suddenly there was I call it shakara. The wind just said, yeah. You know, sometimes they call it bragging. You know, some people will brag. The wind just bragged, made a loud noise. And he took his face off that knowledge of Christ and went on the wind, and he began to sink. And even in his sinking, he knew the Lord enough to say, Lord, save me. So in this walk of faith, some will go, will walk over the problems of this world through the knowledge of Christ. And some will sink. But your sinking doesn't mean you are dying. All you need to say is, Lord, save me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is why God said I should teach you this morning. You need to know Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. And that Christ that is on the inside of you, he's the one that I'm bringing to you this morning. Listen to this. Romans 8 verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the one who walked on water. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. There is still a waging of water. Don't think because Christ is in you, then there won't be any raging. The body is dead because of sin. Why? There is law of sin in the body. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How did I become righteousness? Jesus became sin for me, that I might be the righteous. And because of this righteousness in the spirit, in my spirit, the spirit is life. How can I get this life to the body, Father? Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body through what? His spirit who lives in the inside of you. Thank you, Father. How do I release this life? Since I know it's by the Spirit. Father, how do I release the life? The word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Life is released by speaking. Praise the Lord. So my problem is not the sins I commit. My problem is the knowledge I lack and the unwillingness to walk by faith. Still go around like a black man, like a white man everywhere. No wonder we can't but repeat the mistakes of those who have been before us in that lineage. You are a new creation in Christ, but all things that have passed away to you, they have not passed away. Still celebrating. Africans, some people are getting ready to celebrate Nigerian festival. Thank God for Nigerian festival. Thank God for African festival. Thank God for whatever festival. But let me tell you, we are now celebrating the Lord. We celebrate him by eating his body and drinking his blood. Hallelujah. He said, remember me by doing this. Amen. Are you understanding me? And after they have celebrated all their lineage things, they come back and they're having problems. They keep going. And the amazing thing is that they give themselves 40 days of prayer and fasting for breakthrough. And then in the breakthrough, they are still celebrating the fresh. In the prayer and fasting, they are still calling themselves black brother, white brother, Nigerian Christian. Hallelujah. Some Christian will come and they say they are from the western part of Nigeria. What is your people? When they say our people, they mean the Yorubas among them. Not really our people as in God's people. And so, if there is fornication there, every woman that goes, your wife is at your side. Darling, how are you? How are you, darling? And the wife is seeking the other, whereas his eye is somewhere else. It's not his fault. Something in his lineage is still fighting him. Why? Because he's identifying with that flesh. Ah, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People who come to Christ, neither male nor female, but some people, they are still male, they are still female. You know what male and female is? Irresponsible boys and girls. No, seriously. That's what it means. That's what to be a male means, an irresponsible boy. To be a female means an irresponsible. You know, Adam were male and female in heaven. When they came on earth, God called them man and woman. It takes a man to be responsible on earth. And so when you are irresponsible, you don't have anything to do with your time other than to take your gynecologist and take it anywhere and commit immorality anyhow. Because you are still male and female in Christ and there is neither. You need to be delivered from being irresponsible. You need to be delivered from it so that your private instrument will behave and rest for once. I'm serious. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How do we do it? We have to keep speaking to ourselves. And say, Father, I thank you, I'm a new creation in Christ. My citizenship, we have to speak the way Jesus speaks. We have to tell this body, I put you down in subjection. You know, your body can disqualify you from the kingdom. People will not enter the kingdom because of their body. The body will disqualify them. Paul said, I put this body in subjection, so he won't disqualify me. I have a greater destiny. I want to enter into the kingdom with Jesus Christ. So, body, get yourself in order. Paul had a problem with his body. We saw it in Romans 7, but he learned very well. And he learned to put the body in subjection. How did he do it? He did it by dying daily. How do you die daily? You remind your body, you are dead. You are dead. You are not a black man. Neither are you a white man. You are my house. I am from heaven. I'm a holy priesthood. A royal, a holy nation. You are my house. I am created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So body, if you are activated by any iniquity, remember I'm your landlord. You must reject it. And the body will hear your voice. Oh, there is no money. Our life is finished. What is finishing in your life? As an eternal, eternity does not finish. It's because you are knowing yourself in the body. But if you know yourself by the spirit, you know that nothing is finished. The words will come to us and will multiply the bread and supply and bring the power of multiplication by speaking over the few and let them multiply. I only have 10 pounds left for the rest of the world. Speak to that 10 pounds to multiply because that is the kind of life in the inside of me. You won't come at 10 pounds. You won't come and give me sorrow and make me depressed and paralyze me from the work of the kingdom. You have to speak to it. You multiply and feed everybody right now. Pay every bills in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Stand up and praise the name of the Lord. Give him glory. Let's stand to our feet and give glory to him.